That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will
and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. That old wheel has rolled around again, and Saturday morning, November 17th, 2018, and the whole crew is here. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And good morning, Brother John.
Good morning.
We say good morning to you, Lord Jesus. Good morning, Holy Spirit, and you are welcome here. We gather in the name of Jesus Christ. That is the name in this, you know, English language that we do our best to speak, and but we gather in His name, and we gather to glorify and praise Him and learn from Him, and we welcome you, the remnant, as well, for joining us here for this time of fellowship and coffee and Bible and current events, and who knows. We'll have the phone lines open in a little bit, but we better start out with a word of prayer. And John, would you lead us in that?
Sure. Well, Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day. We thank you for all of our many blessings. We thank you for this time that you set aside for us to come together and to encourage one another to love and good deeds. Father, we ask that you would guide and direct us, give us wisdom and understanding, give us the stories and the truths that you want us to share with the remnant, or what the exposed to the remnant, what they need to share with the brethren. We just ask that you would grant us a special anointing this morning, Lord, that we would do your work and your will. Father, as we approach Thanksgiving this coming week, Lord, we are thankful, Lord. And we do indeed have much to be thankful for. Father, I pray that there would be a spirit of thankfulness that would come across this land, Lord, that people would remember that all that they have is given to them by you. And he that giveth can taketh at any time. Father, we do thank you for all of our blessings, and we thank you for our trials and our tribulations that, just as your word says, refine us into that man or woman that you want us to be to serve you. Your word says, when two or more are gathered, then you're there also. We just say, come, Lord Jesus, be our guest this morning, and bring your myriads of angels with you, Lord, and let this broadcast be pleasing to you. Prepare your people's hearts and minds and souls, maybe those that are just tuning in for the first time, to receive these truths. Father, we continue to cry out that you would remove the scales from your people's eyes and unstop their ears. And Father, that the things that were done in the dark would be brought to the light and shouted from the rooftops. Help us to understand that your ways are not our ways, and but what you do is good and what you do is right. Help us to stand on Romans 8:28, that you work all things for good for those that love you and abide in you and are called by your purpose, even though sometimes we can't understand the reasoning. So today we come before you in spirit of humility, with a desire to serve, a desire to share the truths that you want us to share with your people. We give you all the praise and all the glory in the name above all other names, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, I'll start out with the praise report. One of my sons got back from his little summer job out fighting fire, so it's good to have him back, and he's visiting other brothers, and so that's good. I sure thank the Lord for that. I appreciate all the prayers that have been offered up from the saints, and had not an uneventful year, but a couple close calls are better than hospital visits, and so but thank you, Lord, for that. Especially when we see the way that California is still burning up, still just setting records with their fires, and our president continues to just speak, I think, truth, and even when it pertains to this, to these fires out here. There was some controversy last week with President Trump about criticizing. How dare you criticize policy that the state of California has enacted? But he was. He sent out November 10th. He said there's no reason for these massive, deadly, and costly forest fires in California, except that forest management is so poor. Billions of dollars are given each year, with so many lives lost, all because of gross mismanagement of the forests. Remedy now, or no more federal payments. And this offended the left. Oh my gosh, Governor, the ex-governor, I guess, Jerry Brown, I guess they got a new guy coming in, and everybody out there is outraged. But let me tell you something. The people that know anything about forest fires, that know anything about why they have them out there, the president is speaking what the people feel, what they think. Because that is exactly what is happening. The mismanagement of the public lands, the being more worried about the spotted owl and the do-gooders, and the city dwellers that think they know what's going on because they've been raised on Walt Disney and Bambi, or they've been arrested on the book, or they've been, what's the word I'm looking for? They've been raised on the Saul Alinsky book, Rules for Radicals, and they're pushing towards socialism as hard as they can, and managing this earth, managing the land, the water, the forest, the grasslands, has gone on the wayside. And there's billions of dollars put in it, but it is certainly not managed properly. And I just think that that these comments that the president made were right on. He goes on and says, with proper forest management, we can stop the devastation constantly going on in California. Get smart. And that's exactly, you know, just the, you know, to go back to a prescribed, managed grazing program and prescribed, managed logging program. When we had those leading up into the 70s, you didn't have these massive wildfires like you have today. Now, there's other things that have happened, you know, communities, people have grown, and they built these homes right up in the forest, and that's what the people want, and you know, when you do that, it's you know, when the fire comes, because it will come, the houses are going to burn down. It really is as simple as that. But there are better practices that can be done that create jobs that pay taxes, jobs that take people off the government tit, so to speak, and it is better all around. You know, maybe out of these huge catastrophic fires that, and I'm just talking on the physical part of it. We've talked before about the spiritual side you know, some of those reasonings as well. But I think that this applies as well, that there are things we can do that would alleviate the situation that's created for these wildfires to just rage through. And every year, it's like new and improved. Every year, it's record-setting devastation. You know, we had that down in Florida with the hurricanes, and you know, it doesn't take long before the insurance companies back out and stop insuring. And it's just part of this house of cards that this Babylon is. It seems to be tottering. It sure does.
Yeah, there's over 1,000 people unaccounted for there. In California due to the fires, and I guess the death toll's risen to 72, and they think that there may be no way to identify all the people. A lot of them were elderly and may have not have had any other family, may not have had anyone looking for them. So yeah, it's quite devastating. You read, there's a lot of articles about what's going on. I guess ISIS has claimed some of the responsibility for some of these fires. Don't know if that's true or not, but one thing that is true is, at least I think it's true, is that the chemtrails and the aluminum oxide dust that they spread through those chemtrails gets on those trees, covers those trees, and just creates quite an igniter, I think. From the past, you know, we're you might have a spark that blows, and if it hits a tree that's at least somewhat green, it's probably going to go out and not cause a major devastation. But you put an accelerant all over the trees, and you're just asking for disaster, which is what we're seeing. I mean, these are fire nadoes, really, that are creating their own weather. And once those fires get to a certain point, they create their own winds, and when they create their own winds like that, then they're not stoppable by man, that's for sure. And in reality, the only time we ever get an upper hand on a fire is when God grants some form of grace and mercy, whether it's humidity or whether it's moisture or whatever it is. But these big fires, the only thing we can try to do is protect structures, but in these fire nadoes, you know better than I do, Richard, but there's really nothing you can do except try to save as many lives as you can.
That's right. They even, looking at even last night, there's still like 57,000 structures in danger. They're asking another 200,000 people to evacuate. the comments they had on the, and this is the fire in Northern California. That's not the only fire. The Woolsey fire down in Southern California that's burned in Malibu. And, you know, when an idol or a rock star or Hollywood star's home gets burned, boy, that makes the front page. That fire, that the Woolsey fire rolling into Malibu, they said, hey, it's going to burn to the ocean. I mean, there's no stopping it. It's just going to burn to the ocean. And when it gets to the beach, it'll stop. And that literally, you see these quotes coming out. And just to give you a
well, it already has, really.
Yeah.
A lot of those mansions are on the ocean.
Yes, they are. Just to give you an idea, this summer, we had a 20,000-acre fire up here to our southwest. And it burned from the state line up to what we call Woods Landing. It's up to the Laramie River, basically. And it took about 6 weeks total to burn 20,000 acres. And we had winds and it was all didn't really burn any structures, but that was by the hand of God. It just skirted a community, and burned beside it. But 6 weeks, 20,000 acres. When this fire started in California, they call it the Camp Fire that's burned Paradise in Northern California. When it started, it burned 50,000 acres in the first 16 hours. I mean, it's just, you know, and like you said, John, there has to be something else. It's certainly the area up there is in a drought, but and when you read the quotes, you see that the people are saying, we've never seen fires like this. We've never seen fire behavior like this. Even with the Santa Ana winds, even with the research and the studies they've done for the last, 50 years, and you continue to see that. Those fire tornadoes that they had earlier in the year in California that caused fatalities. Never seen it before. Not the way they, you see little fire whirls every now and then. This thing was half a mile wide and fire and it is of biblical proportion that we're seeing this devastation. I don't recall in the past
100 feet.
Oh yeah, half a mile wide coming through. I mean, there's no escaping that. We've had complete towns are being destroyed. We had Hurricane Michael that came ashore in the Florida Panhandle earlier this year and just leveled Mexico Beach, I think was the name of it. That was in the Florida Panhandle. The town is basically gone. I mean, it just leveled it. And then here on the West Coast, Paradise, California, gone. I mean, it's 90% or more of the town has just been leveled. And I just don't, in my
a town the size
years,
of Laramie.
Yeah, 28, 30,000 people.
The town the size of Laramie.
Yeah, and gone. And,
and one of the things that nobody's talking about, too, is they want to say, they want to go after President Trump for talking about tweeting, coming out and saying that, hey, we should have had some wildlife management here. We should have had some forest management out here. Isn't anybody talking about Jerry Brown's veto of California wildfire legislation and it was a bill that was put up that was basically saying, hey, we got a problem. We
yes.
have a huge problem if we don't start managing this. And who vetoed it? Jerry Brown?
Yeah.
Democrat?
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Yeah. And something that I didn't realize was as big as it was is that California has a, they call it a biomass energy generation. And, you think about that. That's what they do. They burn, wood. Basically wood and trimmings and that kind of stuff, and it has been a the California's biomass energy generation last year 22% lower than any of the last 25 years, and so it continually gets shut down. Oh, they worry about smog and all that, and one of these fires, one of them you know, the smoke and particles that it puts in the air. And I think you mentioned it last time we talked, Jason, when these houses burn, the toxic smoke that this it's not just a wildland fire. It's not just wood burning. Everything in these homes and these cars that just mixes in there. You know, there used to be an orderly burning of wood waste, even from logging. And, you know, it just is not anymore. They've shut it down. And that's what we get. You know, they've sown and they are reaping. That's just all in the physical, the things that they've done.
Yeah, a lot of this, I think, is we've heard this for a while, this Cal exit, where California is trying to exit from the United States, and a lot of people have really not given it any credence, but there is some credence to it, and it appears that the United Nations are actually behind it. I read an article here this week. There was a photo that depicts a press conference held in Moscow in which the Independent Republic of California was introduced. It was announced that California will operate as a protectorate of the United Nations. When California exists, in the Union, they will be largely controlled by the Chinese, which, is, if I'm not mistaken, they've already taken over the major seaport. Doesn't the Chinese own the major seaport there in California? But will be under the political control of the UN with Jerry Brown as their leader. The California food supply is being handed over to Chinese, which, if you think about it, makes sense. California has been somewhat of a breadbasket of the United
absolutely.
States.
Absolutely, they are.
But then you look at how they passed the, you know, the government decided that was it the Simi Valley was no longer to get water because it was killing some 2-inch fish or whatever it was. But so that land, all those farmers, they went bankrupt, and all that land was, from what I read, bought up by Richard Bloom, who is Dianne Feinstein's husband. And now all that land, all of a sudden they decided, well, we better turn the water back on. And, and now those... you know, there's nothing new under the sun. You watch some of the early labor unions that were taking over the small towns, price-fixing goods from farmers to the point where they would go broke so that their farms would be foreclosed on and the bankers would have their men come in and purchase the land and the farms and the equipment for pennies on the dollar. There's nothing new under the sun, but this Independent Republic of California, you know, a lot of people just say, well, good, let California go, just move the border wall in a state. And that's easy to say, but when you really look at the ramifications of losing California specifically from a food producing aspect, it's a serious situation.
Amen.
What do you know about the Cal exit, Jason, anything? Hello?
I know, I don't know much about that part of it, but I know this week one of the things that was interesting, and it's like, yeah, well, gee whiz, I wonder why California's having fires. The California Democrat Representative Eric Swalwell is a California Democrat, of course, and he called for a nationwide gun confiscation from all lawful gun owners. His quote is, and then he added, the government should go after resistors who refuse to consent to having their assault weapons taken from them by government force. When challenged by this total insanity of such a plan by Joe Biggs, Representative Swalwell responded by saying the government's war against its own patriots would be a short war because the government has nukes. And the article reads, Democrat congressman says government should use nuclear weapons against Second Amendment supporters if they don't give up their firearms. And it says, I just want to read part of it. Now that the midterm election is over, Democrats are back to their usual insanity, threatening the use of deadly government forces to murder American citizens who refuse to bow down to their authoritarian tyranny. Why any American continues to vote for any Democrat at all is beyond any rational explanation. And, you know, you look at this and it's like, okay, yeah, you wonder why you have fires over there. I mean, come on. I mean, here's a representative of the state of California calling for nukes to be used on citizens for standing up for their rights.
Yeah, that guy's psychotic. Remember, we've brought up that guy before.
Yeah, absolutely. And he just still at it. He's obviously still got it. I mean, you'd think they'd put a muzzle on him, but, I mean, there's just got to be that many people supporting him.
Yep.
Well, isn't that what you have out in California? Maxine Phillips and Nancy Pelosi, and they just, those birds of a feather, oh, man, the buzzards of a feather, they seem to just hang out among themselves.
Waters, yeah.
I mean, it is just...
Yeah, Maxine Waters and Dianne Feinstein.
The stuff you see
all
from
the
them,
crazy.
Oh, it's just crazy. It absolutely is.
Yeah. Well, you know, all you really have to do is know that the mayor of Chicago, former advisor to Obama, Rahm Emanuel, is the one that's representing California in the CalExit probe, or the movement. And also, what a lot of people don't understand is... These people from the Obama Nation administration are also involved with the legislation regarding CalExit. Former Attorney General Loretta Lynch, remember her?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Disgraced and former Obama czar and present CNN celebrity Van Jones. Former DHS Director Janet Napolitano, who was presently running the California university system, and then, like I said, Rahm Emanuel is the one that's heading up that whole deal. So
now, are they still talking about dividing California up into three different sections under that?
No, this is basically they're trying to take the whole state.
Okay.
But the northern, I don't think the people in Northern California, which are majority of our people, they're not going to let that go without a fight, I'm sure. But that's their end goal. You know it, and I know it. That's what this whole caravan coming to the California border is all about, to get as many of the MS-13 and Muslim Brotherhood and into this country as they can. But, you know, the reality is there's quite a few here already, and we better be ready at all times for anything to take place, because I think we're just one major trigger event away from you know, the next civil war.
Yeah, and that's the next civil war is not going to be black versus white. I really don't. It's going to be right versus left. That's my thought on it.
Well, good versus evil is what it's going
right,
to be.
Right. Right. That's that right versus left, good versus evil. You know, choosing. Are you gonna just continue to bow down to the state, or are you gonna? And you know, looking at this country, I don't think what you're talking about is very far off. Got a Pew Research poll, and they call, you know, each generation is named. You know, Generation X, Generation Y. Well, Generation Z, or the what else they call them, the iGen, researchers say this is the most racially and ethnically diverse ever. And that's they're talking people that are going, you know, starting school about 6 years old up to 21. And right now, and they call them post-millennials, you know, the millennials are the ones that are just, they're having children now, but this iGen, Generation Z, between the ages of 6 and 21, half are from, and the way they describe it, they're from communities of color, is how they describe it. Because, you know, you have to think about, and they say that to say non-white communities of color, whether it's Hispanic or Asian or Islander or Latino, Hispanic, or what we would call Black, African Americans, whatever. 48% 6 to 21-year-olds in this country, and that is huge, because that generation that's in the public school system, you know, the things that are being taught, from Timmy having two daddies to you know, the white European caused all the problems and is the evil person in the world. More of them are in school. More of them are in college than ever before. And, you know, it says here there's much more, and we know it, we see it, there's much more Hispanic and Asian presence among the nation's children and youth today. And it is. And it compares how these this generation, even the ones that are, you know, 17, 18, 19, 20, that they're more likely, and we're talking about these what have been minorities, these people from communities of color, that they're more than likely to finish high school and enroll and go to college. And when I saw this article, I wrote in the bottom, I said, yeah, they are, because government's paying for it. You know, they have. That's what's set up. If you're anything from American Indian to any type of member of a non-white community, the way they put it, you're eligible for all types of college aid. And we've talked about it before. University of Wyoming, they recruit people of color from Africa and places like that because they have to meet the government required standards of certain percentages, having certain percentages. Even though the state is 93% white, the state university system cannot be that way, according to the federal guidelines. And
yeah, it's all by design.
It is. And we're seeing it come true, just like we're seeing, because of the last 30, 40 years of mismanagement and changes that have gone on in California, that have allowed the situation to exist, for these massive wildfires, for hundreds of people to be killed, for trillions of billions of dollars in destruction. You know, things were set up 30, 40 years ago for this to happen, and they continue to today. It wasn't just what was done then. We see the same thing in this public education system, tied in with the lax immigration invasion policies that we're now living with. Says here, and here's a quote. It says, for now, though, Yasmin Butte, 21, of Staten Island, New York, is among those Latino college students helping post-millennials meet their educational benchmarks. So helping, here's this 21-year-old Yasmin Butte, Latino, helping out with this. She's a senior at Columbia University studying, get this, psychology and women's gender and sexuality studies. Not women's. Women's is just one of the three studies. Women's, comma, gender, comma, and sexuality studies. And it's like, how in the world does this help America grow? How does this help, you know, with jobs or with anything? And it's just a underwater basket weaving degree, fluff. She's believed into the lie, but in our lifetime, if something doesn't change, we're going to see these people as the majority. And
yeah,
and we are going to be the minority.
That's the bad thing about what happened with losing the House. But in reality, the House, they can be gnats, they can be mosquitoes, they can be pests. And they are going to try to, you know, they're already talking about trying to overturn things. I read an article here the other day, Jason, about how the Dems plan to overturn the Masterpiece court decision. And
yep.
Let's see, there's 50 more House Democrats co-sponsoring the bill that gutting the 25-year-old Religious Freedom Restoration Act, and it's H.R. 3222, but basically they're coming, as far as the House of Representatives, to push their gay, lesbian, transgender, small farm animals, whatever else they want to add to it, agenda. And but the reality is, they can propose all of these bills, but they can't pass them unless the Senate approves them. And the fact that we won additional seats, in fact, it appears that the hemorrhaging of cheating has been stopped in Florida, and I guess Abrams finally, she doesn't concede, but she lost as far as the governor's race there in Georgia. So there's some good things happening, but I mean, they've proven without a shadow of a doubt that there was election fraud in Florida, and it's not the first time, let's face it.
No,
how many times look at, we're past a week, almost 2 weeks from the time of the election, and we still don't know the results. And
right.
I mean, and there's house races all across the country that we don't even know about that are the same kind of stupid kind of election fraud going on. But the good news is, I think God in His grace and His mercy, and because there was enough people praying and crying out, we did get more Senate seats, so not one or two senators can hold us hostage like even the last 2 years. And that the Senate, what people don't realize, I don't think, is it controls the judicial branch, and it controls the executive branch. It controls the military. It controls the military tribunals, and it controls Guantanamo Bay. It controls all of those things that, Lord willing, that these 65,000 sealed indictments now, it continues to grow in all 50 states, and there's actually a website that lists how many sealed indictments are in each of the 50 states. California, I think, is in the top as far as the number, but, the reality is, if justice is served, and I believe it will, if we continue to fight the good fight, continue to pray that the things in the dark were brought to the light, and continue to support God's agenda, then you're going to see a lot of those that are in the House of Representatives be indicted and removed. And that's what I'm believing. So,
well, and it was
exciting
interesting
time.
This week I was able to talk to one of the local clerks from the clerk and recorder's offices, and I talked to the clerk herself, and I asked her. It was kind of funny because we were talking, and I said, "So you didn't come up with any boxes of ballots that showed up in the middle of a school building or in a parking lot that you had to count, did you?" And she laughed and laughed and laughed, and she said flat out, she said, "That thing was stolen." She said, "It was stolen." She's like, if I did that, she's like, "I'd be prosecuted." And she says, "I have no idea how they're getting away from that," but she says, "It's been all over." And she's like, "We know for a fact that that they cheated." And she was very upset about it, because she said there was nothing that they were doing about it.
Yeah, I mean, you got to believe that if it's happening there, it's happening all across the country. In fact, I watched a video that someone sent me, and it makes total sense, about fractions. So you can think about this. If you waste your time and watch the results coming in, I got to admit it was fun watching the presidential election for President Trump, though, watching those liberals crying on the TV, and just literally they would not concede. They would not turn over.
They wouldn't. They wouldn't.
The states that were critical, even though the numbers are up there that President Trump was winning, they just wouldn't turn it over. But, I just lost my train of thought. What was I saying? Well, anyways, I mean, you can't believe that. Like, even here in our state, you know, we lost bad Democrat, you know, and we got the first openly gay governor. And I got to tell you, it's disheartening for sure. But you can't, you know, the things that that Democrats and liberals usually vote for that were on the ballot for raising taxes and things like that, that they're always for, none of those passed. Not one of them passed. Mm-hmm. But here we go with the governor's race, and the governor's race was, you know, overwhelmingly for the liberals. And the so something, you know, something's rotten in Denmark as far as I'm
right,
concerned.
Yeah.
And but we just got to continue to pray, and you know, the biggest, I guess, the my opinion, one of the biggest, most important prayers we can pray is that those things that were done in the dark be brought to the light, shouted from the rooftops, and it's,
amen,
you know, it's happening. Even Marco Rubio, who's been totally against the president from day one because he ran for president and didn't get hardly any of the votes, even though he spent multi-millions of dollars, not quite as much as Jeb Bush, but multi-millions. He's even come out, and the last thing I saw was he's basically prosecuting those that committed election fraud, and he says there is no doubt that we have proof that there was election fraud committed in Broward County and possibly whatever the other one was. But now, see, those are the kind of things when you read, remember the Battle of Athens? I actually looked that up again the other day, and there's a 10-minute short video of the climax of that movie that you can look up on YouTube. But that Battle of Athens was a corrupt county where the sheriff was bought and paid for, and it just continued to grow, that everybody in positions of authority within this county was on the take, you know, making money, and
yes,
it was total corrupt. And the men who fought, I think it was World War II, had come home, and they couldn't believe what had happened to their little small town USA town. And the sheriff and 50 deputies or whatever broke into the city hall, which by the way is the way it should be. Once again, one day to vote from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. That's it. You get off your butt and you go in and you vote. There is no early voting. There is no absentee voting except for military who have legitimate reasons.
Yes.
And that's the way it used to be. And the fact, I mean, they're talking about making cell phones, be able to vote on your cell phone. But anyways, this group of corrupt sheriffs and deputies broke into the city hall, guns, all of them armed, grabbed the ballot boxes and said the election is over, and took them back to the county jail where the sheriff resided and all these other corrupt politicians, which was also basically a fortress as far as iron doors and things, because it was a jail. And these men had had enough, and in fact they actually shot and killed one of their men that was watching the election to make sure that there was no fraud perpetrated. And they basically broke into the armory, they stole all the weapons, and surrounded the jail with you know, rifles, and ended up having a pretty good shootout, but the building being a jail was stone and this and that. Well, anyways, they blew the door. These guys all surrendered except for the ones that escaped out the back, and they counted, they took the ballot boxes to a public location and counted them in front of the people, and ended up finally taking over the corrupt county. So, you know, you watch that and you're thinking, when's enough? When is this, you know, kind of situation going to take place in small town USA again? When is it going to take place in Florida specifically, when you look at the demographics of Florida? And but you know, the one thing I think people don't understand is when I grew up in probably the 80s and the 90s, get this, California was Republican.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yeah.
No way. Can't be. There's no way. It can't be. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
California was
25 years ago. 25 years ago they were.
One side.
Exactly. Colorado was too.
And then, and Arizona. So think about that. What states do we have the most illegal aliens infiltrating? Number one, California. Number two, Arizona. Sadly, most of the Californians that ruin California have moved to Colorado and are doing their best to send this state down that same path. But this isn't by accident. This is by design. And this whole caravan of illegal aliens, what do you think they're going to vote? They're obviously going to vote Democrat. They're going to vote to continue to receive their checks. So, you know, it's our fault. Shame on us, really, as the watchmen over the House of Israel that fall asleep, and we really haven't taken these battles seriously. And, you know, now that we have, we're the underdogs, but greater is he that is for us than he that is in the world. So we just need to, I think we need to just stand on those promises and continue to petition our Heavenly Father for grace and mercy and compassion in his wrath.
Amen. Amen. You know, our Bible reading is wrapping up in Ezekiel. And yesterday's was Ezekiel 36. And at the end of it, verse 32 and 33, it says, "Thus says the Lord God, this also I will let the house of Israel ask me to do for them." See, God in all of it, he's a good father. He doesn't just do and spoil his children. He makes situations where they can ask in humility, in humbleness, and repentance. He says, "I will increase their men like a flock," like the flock for sacrifices, like the flock at JERUSALEM during her appointed feasts. "So will the waste cities be filled with flocks of men. They will know that I am the Lord." And see, he allows that. He says, "I will let them ask me." And he is the God that hears and that answers when we turn to him. And as bad as it gets, and maybe that's what it is to make the people turn and repent. I thought that, John, when your new governor got elected, you know, are the people just going to sit back and say, "Well, there's nothing we can do. Oh, well, that's the way it is." Or are they going to pray against the sin that represents, you know? And is it going to be, I hate to say, is it going to be enough to drive those that need to be to repentance and to return to God? But it just seems that way, you know? Is it?
Brother Zach just texted me and said we need more black vests. Amen.
That's right.
More of the black vest regiment.
That's right. And folks, if you want to be, and I'll put this out, I hadn't talked to John about it, but if you think you want to be part of that, you know, we got black vests out here. We've got them. We can get them. Mm-hmm. And and some are. You know, I think Brother Zach sure is. You know, he joined us Wednesday night, and we had a great prayer meeting, and he talked about the gains that they've made, the prayers that have been offered from the people at the church he's preaching at, how those people have grown, and it's huge. It's huge. Well, guys, we got a few minutes left. Let's try a phone call this morning. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yeah, hi, Rich. Hi, gentlemen.
Good morning, Joe.
I wonder if you had come up with anything, any alternative to PayPal in your troubles and your tribulations out there. I'm sorry to hear about that, but I was wondering.
Yeah, we were able to get our contract up and online now. So
to me,
go ahead, Jason.
We're taking, we got the cart back up online. It's running. It's working really good. And we're going to be able to take here, pending approval, we'll be able to take donations over the phone and back on the website here, hopefully within the next couple of days. Just anytime you deal with a financial institution now, you got to get approval. You got to, it's like opening a bank account anymore.
Right.
Yeah, no kidding.
Right.
Well, like you said, Jason, you uncovered some history with PayPal. In fact, what originally it was founded by Elon Musk and his brother, and
they made a lot of money on it. They got out of it. They sold it. And these, you know, I mean, it's basically, it's nobody really knows, but it's pretty. There's a lot of things that point to it being government owned now. So just along with eBay and Google and you know, the collaboration of all of that stuff. I mean, that's what it's pointing towards. So and I think it's very possible.
Facebook too, huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, if you think about it, you know, if they've realized that this internet and things like that have done more to expose the evil and the things that were done in the dark. Obviously, God's got his hand in it, but if they can control the information that's going out there, if it's nothing but the mainstream media, which is what their plan was originally, and it was that way for, I don't know, as many years as I can remember, up until probably 10, 15 years ago, and if they can control what's being disseminated to the people, and then if they can control the funds of those who fund, you know, these organizations that try to get the truth out, then they won't have the opposition that they have, and that's what's going on. And it's just stepped up a lot more, I think, right before this midterm election. They've proven basically that Facebook has done everything they can to, you know, I don't do Facebook or any of that social media stuff, but Facebook, they've basically proven that they discriminated against anything that was conservative and promoted anything that was liberal and demon rat, you know?
Yes. It's what they do. It's a separation. You know, like Matthew talks about, by your own words, you'll either be condemned or justified. And it's not just by your words, but by your actions. And that's what they do. You know, it's like those out there that you were talking about in California, and these filthy politicians that, whether they get the bill passed or not, they present it. You know, they present it, and so it lets you know. That's why you kind of have to remnant. You have to kind of pay attention to what's going on, not to be worried about it, not to be anxious about it, but just so that you have an understanding, you know, just how vile these people are, whether they get their laws passed or not, but what they have, their intent. You know, that how they are, and some of them are just. They are of their father, the devil, who was a liar and a murderer from the beginning, who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And I think that's you know, if you can break it down to the Christ said, there people are, you're either for me or you're against me. And you know, when everything that people do, it either is part of that abundant life or it's part of stealing, killing, and destroying. And it's one or the other. It can't be both. It can't be both.
Along those lines, still in the book of Enoch, I'm in chapter 15, and I'm going to start in verse 8, but this pretty much explains it. Now the giants, who have been born of spirit and flesh, shall call upon earth evil spirits, and on earth shall be their habitation. Evil spirits shall proceed from their flesh, because they were created from above. From the holy watchers was their beginning and primary foundation. Evil spirits shall they be upon the earth, and the spirits of the wicked shall they be called. The habitation of the spirits of heaven shall be in heaven, but upon earth shall be the habitation of terrestrial spirits who are born in earth. 1 Corinthians 15:40. The spirits of the giants shall be like clouds, which shall oppress, corrupt, fall, contend, and bruise upon the earth. That pretty much sums it up, in my opinion.
Yes.
And you know, in the last days, they know that their days are numbered, and they've pulled out all the stops. But the reality is too, is you don't have that good spiritual power in the land that we used to have too, you know, when there was God-fearing Christians, when there was people who prayed, when there were churches who preached the truth and sang the old hymns, and you know, now they've just become pretty much rock concerts. But there's power in all of that, and as that power wanes, the evil power continues to grow, in my opinion. And I don't know if you've seen lately, but there's a whole lot of stories about cannibalism. Not really too much in America yet, but all throughout the world, actually harvesting and serving human flesh in some restaurants. And I know that's hard to believe, but this is true. And what did God say? That, you know, we would eat our children in the curses of Deuteronomy 28:16-68. But if you read about the Watchers, what did they do? The giants, the Nephilim, they decided that, you know, their appetite was insatiable, and man could no longer provide for them. And when you read this, you can see that they turned to cannibalism as well, and not only just on man, but on one another, and probably bestiality, based on what I'm reading. So, you know, when the Bible says that the times were, man's thoughts were continually evil when God destroyed the earth, they were. They were much yes. more evil than we can even imagine. And but then again, when you look at around and some of the things that are going on today, in this country, but more throughout the world, there's no doubt that we can still, there's a long way to fall, put it that way. And it's a spiritual warfare, period. And you know what? If we're not willing to put the effort in to fight against the demonic forces of hell and spells and witchcraft and all of that, then why would God fight for us if we're not even willing to fight? That's the way I see it.
Amen. Amen. We've had quite a bit of support, John, on your message from Enoch last week, phone calls and whatnot. And we carry the Book of Enoch, if you'd like it. I think, what, $9, $10, if you'd like it, folks. I've been reading through it this week. The verse after that, John, the very end of that next verse says, of that, say to them, and this was the instruction, I think, given to Enoch as to it, never therefore shall you obtain peace. And see, that's what the Watchers, that's for the giants, that's for the evil forces, that's for those spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. They will never obtain peace. But see, it's different for us. We can obtain peace. Peace in Christ. And we can. Well, guys, we're about out of time. I want to invite you to church tomorrow, folks. You can join us. Scriptures4America.org. Right there on the homepage. Click on the live video stream starting at 8:30 Mountain Time, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, and that's going to be 7:30 for you West Coast people, and join us, and we will have a little bit of everything for you, and some songs, some hymns, some spiritual songs, and communion, the Words and Power series that Jason, you've been replaying from our pastor, has been just absolutely powerful. It is foundational, but relevant today, it sure is. And John, looking forward to hopefully more of Enoch from you, and folks, we'll have communion, and so you can join us on the shortwave, on the audio satellite. You can tune in on your smartphone, scriptures4america.org, on the live video stream, and it'll give you all those choices. So we invite you there. Guys, thanks, and we'll see you at church in the morning.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, stay high. fast and pray together, make them hell send forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.